Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another version of Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. My beautiful co-host out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, Danielle Orsino, 347-205-9631. Catch you live. If you want to listen to this archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Danielle, the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And another great show.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing good. I'm so happy to be here, ready to talk to you. Everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Danielle, M as in Marie, Orsino, O-R-S-I-N-O, and they can slide into my DMs and give me a little heads up on what they want to talk about because there's so much going on. But first and foremost, I have to wish you a very happy birthday. And then it looks like the Commanders gave you a special gift and beat the undefeated Eagles. So let's get right into that little chat.
Well, thank you very much for the birthday wishes. Probably the best ever. Boy, it was nice. A little Trout Almadine on my birthday, spending it with some great people. And man, oh man, I feel great at 61. I'm almost feeling like I'm 35. That's a story for another day. But the superstition continues. 70 straight, you know, on 6 years in a row on my birthday. Probably would have changed if I was back east in the Midwest or something, but when you're living in sunny Southern California, you get that great weather. But yeah, the Redskins did give me a gift, and a lot of people didn't see this coming. I figured if they can split with either Minnesota and Philly, get to 5-5, you know, this is going to be something, and boy, I'll tell you, now we're going to find out if the Redskins can take it up to the next level. I'm saying for the first time in NFL history, we're going to probably see four teams from one division getting in the playoffs. The only thing that scares me is what's going on in the NFC West between Seattle and San Francisco. If one of them slip up and the fourth-place team in the East can outsmart second-place teams across the board here, we're going to have division winners and we're going to have three wild cards in the same division, Danielle.
That's definitely a possibility right now, but I mean, I think the biggest story is just what the Commanders did to the Eagles. I mean, overall, I can't say it was, I don't look at Taylor Heineke and go, well, gee, that's an NFL quarterback. That's an elite quarterback. If I ever saw one, it was a grisly win, but it was a win. He did it. And what I like about him, and I know everybody out there is going to tell me I'm crazy, and that's okay, guys. I see a little Eli Manning in him, and let me finish that statement before everybody starts throwing things at their phone. Hold on, let me finish it. What I'm saying is he doesn't care about the stats. He's going to just throw the ball, and he's going to leave it for the receivers to get it. And that's very Manning of him. He's not worried about his stats. He's not selfish in that way. He's just going to throw the ball, and he doesn't care what happens, in the sense that he's going to give you a chance to get it. He's going to give you that chance. And that's what I do like about him. He reminds me a little of Chad Pennington. You know, there was always that talk of, oh, if he was a little taller, if he had a little more of an arm, he'd be my guy or whatever, whatever. But Heineke reminds me of Pennington in that sense, that he's got the leadership abilities, but everybody's always talking, if he had a little more of this, if he had a little more of that, he'd be my franchise guy. I think, you know, Heineke has a lot. I would be very cautious about going back to Wentz. From what I'm seeing from Taylor right now, I think he's got them on a roll. I think he's got the morale going. I think Rivera should stick with Heineke right now over Wentz. Once again, I'm sure.
Well,
things
I think
are
you're absolutely right. No, you bring some great points up. And you know, first of all, let's take the word negativity. And I've always said I can care less how many podcasts are out there or whatever. I just put the earplugs in the ears, the ice in the veins. And look at negativity as pylons on a highway. I got to get around them. When I do this show, I figure you and I are the best of the best. we set the bar. That's the way I look at this, whoever I work with. We just set the bar that high, and everybody else, you know, can try to catch up to that level. I don't worry about the competition. So I block out the noise if I'm Tyler Henneke, and just know that this guy exudes confidence, infectious personality. He knows what it takes to get the team to where it is. You know, this is the guy that, you know, I liked when he played against Tampa in the playoffs. I know they came up short, gave him a fighting chance. Carson Wentz goes down. No, I let this guy roll it out. The Redskins are playing on house money. Nobody figured them to do anything this year. You know, with everything hanging over them, that dark cloud's been over them for a couple of years. You know, with the Daniel Snyder, the sex scandal, the building of stadiums, the name change, whatever you want to call it. This team has been beset by a lot of things. So to see where they've come this far, I think it's just simply amazing in more ways than one. And they've circled the wagons. They get Houston coming up next. And this is a division where if you're telling me who might fall out of this if they're not taking four teams, I'd have to say the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys can hang the rest of the way here as we start to move in the stretch run. 7 games to go, 7 weeks. That's almost 2 months of football here. I don't think the Cowboys will be able to hang with the rest of the 3 teams in the division. Any chance you see on this?
The Cowboys, after seeing what happened with the Packers, the Cowboys worry me a little bit because I had plenty of opportunity with that Packers game to put it away, and they did not. That concerns me a lot with the Cowboys. They had a waste. The CD was open several times, and I felt like they just didn't get it there. Micah Parsons did not generate any pressure on Rodgers. For somebody who has been so prolific this season with getting to the quarterback and at least exuding pressure, I didn't see any. They should have been able to do that. I don't know if it was a matter of the Cowboys thinking they had this game wrapped up. I don't know if it was a head game. I'm not sure. So I'm a little concerned about the Cowboys. But that being said, and this is going to kill me to say this, Giants fans, I'm sorry. The Giants have the hardest division, the hardest schedule of this division for the second half. We're nothing but division games for the rest of the season, clearly. After Detroit, we have we still have 5 division games to play. I'm a little concerned about that. So I'm looking at it and I'm going, okay, Eagles, you're going to be fine. You know, Commanders are just getting hot right now, and they're getting hot at the perfect time. You know, you look at what's happened to the Bills. The Bills were hot in the beginning, red hot. They're trickling out. The Bills I'm worried about. You look at the Commanders and you're going, what's happening here, guys? Like, they're just gathering steam. And once again, it's at the perfect time. And if you remember the second run, the Super Bowl for the Giants, they started getting hot mid-November, end November to December. They were just steamrolling. This is when you want to get hot. So I'm kind of looking at them going, they could make that wild card run and bump us out. So I am a little concerned. The Cowboys, I don't know what's going on because I expected more out of their defense. And I felt like the run D was very soft on the Packers. Packers should not have been able to put that game away. They really shouldn't have. And it's given the Packers false sense of hope because if you ask me, I think the Packers are done. You know, are they Rams level done? No, they're not that bad. But, you know, do I really think I'm going to put my money on Aaron Rodgers? Look, it's Aaron Rodgers. I get it. But I'm just not seeing the weapons around him, and I don't feel like he has the chemistry just yet. So we'll have to wait and see, but I'm just not. Cowboys, I'm looking at it.
Well, let me get there a couple comments here. Bill from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, chiming in. He's a first-time listener to the show. Bill, welcome. He says,
hi,
guys,
Bill.
What do you think of these games being played overseas? I'm not a big fan of it. I know we got to get up early, but I can imagine how the West Coast and Hawaii feels. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's 6:30 in the morning. If my team ain't playing, I ain't getting up. So, you know, and if you're in Hawaii, geez, you might have to roll out of bed at 2-something in the morning and try to find a donut shop to get a cup of coffee.
I'm waiting for
a maple bar just to watch that thing. And good luck if anything's open there. You might have to watch the game with a tailgate party at a convenience store in, you know, Maui or something. But what's your take on this, Danielle?
Okay, look, I don't mind the UK games so much. You know, it's just a little hop. I think, I don't know, all right, forgive me for saying this. Part of me feels it's a cash grab. It's a money grab. I think it's too much on the team. I would rather see maybe a UK team, you know, there and pull them over. I think part of it is, and once again, you can't claim to be the world champions if we're not playing the world. So I can kind of see that aspect of it. But the team's going over there, why? Why are we doing this? Like, are we really ambassadors to the world of football? No. Like, get a team. Like, if you want to do a whole world team, okay, then develop the game over there and let's do something like that. But us sending the Seahawks over there, really? Like, is that really necessary? I'm not getting up at 9:30 unless the Giants are playing. Look, when the Giants played the Packers, I was up. You know, I was up watching it.
Right.
But when it was Tampa Bay and the Seahawks, I was like, yeah, I'll catch it on the replay. I'm, you know, that's cool. But I don't know. I'm not overly excited about it. I kind of, to be honest, I look at the Goodell and I just see dollar signs going in his pocket. That's I'm sorry.
Well, not only that, you know, out here on the West Coast, we're used to seeing these things at 10 in the morning. So we're kind of used to that where, you know, if you've been out on the West Coast, these things kick up at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, the pregame show, and then 10 it starts, and you get a game at 1. And then by, you know, 4 o'clock, 4:30, we're getting ready for the night game. Now we're getting some real comments here. Carl coming in from Visalia, California. He goes, yeah, I used to live on the East Coast, originally from Boston, Mass., and I can remember going to games. Those suckers would end at like 1 in the morning. By the time you got home, it was 3 in the morning. Nobody went to work on a Tuesday. These guys must be talking about, Carl, a Monday night football. Yeah, I can imagine that, especially in that brutal cold. I can't imagine that because I've been out of that for so long, and I think the last time I was in that was years ago. But, man, I can remember going to Pittsburgh and covering the Chargers and Steelers in December, and, you know, you had the snow flurries and everything coming down. But I can't imagine doing those 9 o'clock games and getting out of there at 1 in the morning and then driving an hour or so. God bless those people. And how many are staying till the end? But and you lived in New York, Danielle.
Yes.
I mean, did you ever go to any of those Monday night games, whether it was the Giants or the Jets? Oh, my God.
I went to the game, the Philly Giants game, right after 9/11. That first Monday night game after 9/11, I was there. So I remember those. Yeah, I was there. I actually left early because it was a violent game in general with the crowd. Everybody was paranoid. It was not a place you wanted to be. You know, as much as you thought, oh, people will come together. No, everybody was. We were all on just high alert. And people were fighting left, right, and sideways. I wound up leaving early. But the traffic at the old Meadowlands is just horrible in general. You were always getting out of there late. But
I remember going by there.
Yeah, it was always
right off the turnpike.
Yep. Yeah, it was.
I've been to that,
late,
you know, right off
everything.
The turnpike there. You know,
it was always like that. Always.
Barry coming in from Jacksonville, Florida says, guys, some of these stadiums, you know, are in such bad areas, it's tough to get around. Coming out of there at 1 or 2 in the morning, if you make a wrong turn somewhere, good luck with that. You might need Sylvester Stallone.
He's not.
Yeah, he's been watching the – he's been definitely watching the Tulsa King. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's a fan of Tulsa King. There's a lot of it. Overall, I'm just not a fan of the overseas stuff. Sorry, guys. You know, like, I think we could do more here.
Well, not only that, you know, part of the problem is some of these stadiums are just put not so much in the suburbs, they're put downtown, and I know where what he's talking about. You know, it could be a rough area getting out of there, you know, and now people want to share the worst stadiums, you know, to walk around. Somebody threw Yankee Stadium up there. Yeah, Yankee Stadium's up there. They're putting Comiskey Park. you know, in some of these areas, I can imagine if you make a wrong turn somewhere, you're, you know, I'm not saying you're in Death Valley, but, you know, hey, listen, I went to Dodger Stadium once, came out of there, and a dude was flashing signs and stuff, and I go, what the hell, what area am I in? You know, and this is Dodger Stadium,
yeah.
So you got to really watch it. I think these events now, it's got to the point now, Danielle, I think people are just staying home. If it's not an afternoon game, I don't think people are traveling as much to these games. And plus, the price of tickets and concessions and food
that's
and
the
everything.
Whole thing.
Yeah,
that I think that's a big part. The other part, and once again, I'm sure I'm going to start a debate here, and everybody chime in what you feel is necessary. I think it's also, we're spending all this money. People are going overseas. I don't know if we need to take care of the stadiums here. And when I say that, I mean take care of the players and make sure the stadium is up to par because these guys are using their bodies. I would rather see you put the money into making sure that it's, if the players want grass, give them grass. If they don't want turf, I feel like that's the least we can do for them. If they're all saying, hey, I want grass, I don't want turf because of the ACL tears, because of this. Look at the players at a Bronco player that's now suing. Because they put like a mat over the cable and he wound up, tearing his ACL when he tried not to bump into something. You know, there's all these things going on that I'm like, the least we can do is make sure these stadiums are prepared properly for the players instead of us doing this expansion. And that's where I'm kind of like, let's just make sure some of these guys are taken care of and the stadiums are proper for them. And it's like I said, if they're all saying, hey, look, we don't want turf, we want grass, I get that there's an upkeep, but you make billions and billions of dollars. It's the
right
least you could do. So I'm kind of that mindset is, make sure, or let's find ways to speed up the game, doing things like putting the sensors around the field, so if somebody steps out of bounds, instead of having to use a challenge flag, we can use magnetic sensors and things like that to speed this game up, just to make it an overall better experience for the players and for the fans. There's different things we can do, to drop the concessions costs, things like that. I think that would make it a better experience than us being like, hey, we need a stadium in Germany. Let's go to Munich. Really? We need Brady in Munich? Okay, cool. Do we really need a week of NFL Live there? I don't know. So I guess I'd rather see that kind of stuff and make it a better experience for all of us who are going to probably spend the money to go and try to drop these ticket prices just a little bit. Because I know I was on the Giants wait list, no lie, 22 years. I moved, and that was in the old Meadowlands. I moved 10 spots for tickets because people willed them down. And then when the new stadium went up, they were like, great news, you can get tickets. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can get tickets. I was so excited. Yeah, I could get tickets for like a suite. Let me tell you, I couldn't afford a house for the amount of money. Like, it was just exorbitant money they wanted. And I'm like, yeah, you understand. I would have to sell children to get that. Like, it's not going to happen. And that did not include your parking pass. That didn't even include the parking pass. So, I think we could do better by the fans and by the athletes. And that's my NFL.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you're right. The price of these things is unbelievable. And we've talked about this on other shows. People just can't afford to go to these things. I mean, if you're not getting a connection somehow, if you're not getting a ticket at the last minute, if you're not eating before, you go in there, if you're not finding something, at a store or something where you're not getting caught with the tourist trap prices. This is completely ridiculous. I mean, I've gone to some of these places and I'm looking at caps and they wanted 50 something bucks and I go, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, no. I used to get, that's what, when I worked at one of my old jobs, they would be like, oh, what do you want for Christmas? What's your bonus? I'm like, oh, Giants tickets, please. Because he had a connection and that's what I would get as my bonus is I would get Giants tickets. And that's how I would go to the games. It wasn't like me being like, yeah, sure, buy me, I'm going to go buy tickets. No, I got them as, that was my tip. We're Giants tickets, so I got to go. And granted, I got to go to some amazing games. And sometimes I'd be right on the 50-yard line. They were great. I had connections. But it was not me spending, you know, going and buying the tickets.
Joey from New Rochelle, New York, chimes in. He said, yeah, try going to a Ranger game or a Knick game. Those tickets are through the roof. I haven't been to one of those games, but I've heard I had a friend, Danielle, that went to an Orlando Magic New York Knick game, and he bought the ticket, I think, just before halftime, and it still cost him $80.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so funny that our New Rochelle guy says that. I used to get Ranger tickets, and I thought I got them as tips. And I got Gretzky's last game. And they were gifted to me. I wasn't going. Like, I couldn't afford that. What are you kidding me? But, yeah, Rangers tickets, all that. You can't. And then when you go, even if you want a hot chocolate, I think a hot chocolate was like $7.50. And I'm like, it's water and a packet of Swiss Miss. You do understand this, right? Like, give me a second. I'm like, we just mix it. Like, is there gold in there?
Hold tight. I'm just going to go down to the local 99-cent store, buy about 8 packs of these, and start selling them and making my profits. Yeah, exactly. Hot water with cocoa, $7.50. Ridiculous. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. All I can tell you is, Wall Street must have a lot of money with these stockbrokers that drive up the prices of that thing, because I'd sit there and watch it at home, and I'm not, a frugal by any means, but I'm just not going to pay those prices to go see two crap basketball teams play at Madison Square Garden.
No.
You know.
I'll stay home. Like I said, I'll watch my games at home where I'm warm. You know.
Yeah.
MetLife is cold. That's a cold stadium. You know, Meadowlands was a cold state. That wind whipped around, it was cold. I was there when the Giants beat the Broncos, when the Broncos were going to go undefeated. I was there for that game, and I was up in the nosebleed section, like top tier all the way up to that. It was freezing. And I was up there, thrilled to be there. Leafy Sparks caught that interception in the end. It was amazing. It was great. The whole place went crazy. I probably knocked off a bunch of those stupid horse hats, because the Bronco fans really thought they were going to be undefeated, and I just love the fact that we ruined that. But it was cold. It was really cold that day. That Meadowlands was freezing. I'll stay home and, like, not freeze. I'm good, and not have to pay those prices. I'm good.
No doubt about it. Tommy coming in from Wheeling, West Virginia, says, Mancini, boy, I'll tell you one thing. You should petition to get the Redskins to play in the state of Pennsylvania more often. They snapped the streak of the Steelers, and now they snapped the streak of the Eagles. Yeah, they stopped two streaks. Yeah.
Yeah, they have a way. I think they're getting hot at the right time. I think he's right. They're getting hot at the right time. Let's see what happens moving forward. I just hope Rivera does not – I think he needs to give Heineke just a little bit more time. Don't go back to Wentz just yet. Let's give him some time here and see what happens. Like I said, I'm a little nervous about the Bills. I don't know where the Bills are going. I don't know if Josh Allen is 100% healthy with that elbow. So the Bills are on my radar right now. The Vikings obviously look good. You can't look at the Vikings and disregard them. They look great.
No, I've always been a Kirk Cousins guy. I don't know why everybody hates Kirk Cousins. I love Kirk Cousins. And talking about it, I'll tell you one thing. I didn't see the Miami Dolphins coming. I really didn't. And, you know, for them to jumpstart this is simply amazing. The only thing that scares me with Miami here, guys, and I don't want to piss off South Florida by any means, is can the Dolphins sustain this? We've seen this happen before. Maybe not to this, you know, upper echelon, but, you know, as it gets closer to the end of the year, the Dolphins kind of control their own destiny. And then they kind of turn into the UCLA Bruins out here, where they start losing games left and right. And before you know it, they can't figure out, well, there's no more games to be played, and we're out of the playoffs. This can be interesting to see. Is Miami a legit playoff contender, you know, 10 games into the season right now with 7 to go? I think the jury's still out, Danielle. I don't know what your take is.
One, let's not get too excited. It was the Browns. And we're back to saying that again. Sorry, Browns fans, but we are. Let's see. It was a nice score. They blew them out, 39-17. It was a great score. But what's interesting about Miami right now is the wide receiving corps is coached by Wes Welker, which, you know, he's nothing to sneeze at. So they've got a good wide receiving coach and you know, an elite wide receiver in Wes Welker. So I think Waddle can really learn from that. He's really developing beautifully. So I want to really see where it goes. I think Tua's back. I think he's showing everybody that he was underestimated for a long time. He's coming back from the concussions, all that stuff. So let's kind of see where they go. They have the bye this week. I think it's good for them. And we're going to just it's a wait and see with them because they can putter out. And that's, you know, that's the one thing with them is they can, you know, they can putter out. And I want to see if they can keep their foot on the gas. I don't know with Miami. So I'm going to reserve judgment for now on Miami.
Yeah, I am too. I think, you know, the Jets are more real than Miami, you know, in more ways than one. And the Jets can be one of those teams, like we were talking about, with the Redskins, that, and hi to Captain Jet listening to the show, covers a lot of games in New York and kind of tight with, you know, the Jets. So he's listening to the show now. Congrats to you, Cap, one of the best. And, yeah, I think the Jets, if they get in the playoffs, can do some significant damage, whether they go to Kansas City or any one of these teams, if it's a Tennessee. I just think they're playing on house money, and they wouldn't, you know, nobody's expecting them to do nothing. And like we said last week, they've won in four hostile environments, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Green Bay, and Denver. You can call it for whatever you want to call it. That's traditional cities across the board in the NFL that they've gone in and beat these teams. So, yeah, the Jets would be a team you'd have to watch out for. As we wind this thing down, any final thoughts with 3 minutes left in this show, love?
I want to see the Jets exercise the Pats. Just exercise the ghosts of the Patriots this week coming up. That's what I'm hoping for the Jets right now. Get rid of that and show me that you can beat them. And I am so – I'm rooting for the Jets this week to really do that. I'm looking for – I want to see the Giants put away the Lions early. As much as I love the Giants coming back in the second half, and they make adjustments beautifully during halftime, and yay, Giants, go Big Blue for that. I'd like to see them get started a little bit earlier and show everybody that they're for real. Because I think everybody's still looking at the Giants going, oh, aren't you cute? I want to see them do a little bit more. I am still hearing Odell is very much emotionally connected to the Giants, as much as this is a business. I know the NFL's a business. I got it, guys. But he is still kind of looking at the Giants like, I'd like to come home, guys, if they can make something happen. The talks did break down with Saquon during the bye. They did not get a contract done, and they said it probably will not get done till the end of the season. Put that in the back of your head and think about it, that $59 million cap space that they'll have next year. So that's
well, we'll
what
definitely
I am
put
hearing.
This show, yeah, in the back of our head, too,
yeah.
And we'll get Captain and some of these great people that cover the NFL on this great show that keeps picking up steam each and every
that.
Wednesday. Same time, same channel across the networks. We'll be back next week. And as I give it over to you, Danielle, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, and let's tease them on what next week could bring.
Next week, we still have to get to our rivals, so I'd still like to hear from everybody from their rivals, whether it's teams or positions, cornerback, receiver, that kind of thing. I'd love to hear about great rivals and players that, you know, maybe we know don't like each other. You know, Michael Irving, Jason Sehorn. but everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Danielle M. Orsino, or at Birth of the Fae, FAE underscore novel. Slide into my DMs, tell me what you want to talk about, or if you know a rivalry or a player rivalry, position rivalry that you want to discuss, definitely hit me up and we can talk.
No doubt about it, rivals. We got derailed by the listeners today, but that was the game plan to get into that. But we will bring that to you next week too, along with everything else. Hey, guys, if you want to catch your show you know, on the net, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, now driven by Mancini Media. Top of the hour, manager of the Houston Astros, Dusty Baker, will be joining the True North Show with Billy North, the You don't want to miss that one. We'll find out the insight. Maybe there was a secret in beating the Philadelphia Phillies. And maybe we'll find that out at the top of the hour. Till next week, for Daniela Orsino out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, saying stay tuned for the top of the hour, and thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week at the same time. Good night, everybody.